This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Deacon Peggy Abraham. Chamashen has just graduated from St. Vladimir's Orthodox Theological Seminary in New York this past May. He is currently serving as the General Treasurer of the MGOCSM of North America. He is a member of St. Mary's Orthodox Church, Carrollton, in Dallas. At this time, I invite our beloved Chamashen to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Let us begin with a word of prayer. Barak Mor, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. The passage that I'd like to read is taken from the epistle, St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 13-24. Please follow along if you have your Bibles as I read. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were gathered in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root, the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you are cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? My brothers and sisters, we are entering into a new season. Just recently, we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. The nature of transfiguration is one of change, becoming new. And Christ's gospel is filled with messages of becoming like new. In fact, the entire Christian existence is about transformation. If anyone is familiar with the process of grafting branches, it is quite a remarkable feat. Branches from one tree are cut, and a small incision is made into a new tree. And the branch that was cut from another tree is placed within the incision and then bound to the tree by some kind of rope or some kind of a binding agent, and it is kept there. And over time, what happens is the branch becomes part of the tree. Many times, cross species can be grafted into a new tree, and they will become part of the tree. They will be fed from the roots and will become part of the foliage of the new tree. This is quite similar, in fact, to the Christian journey. In the epistle that was just read, St. Paul first makes his comments to the Jews in Rome and reminds them of the promise that was made to Abraham. They were the chosen people, the sons, the ones who were the descendants of Abraham and the ones to whom the promise was given, the promise, the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Then he turns and explains to us, the Gentiles, and he explains to us that Christ did not only come for the Jews, but he also extended the same promise to the Gentiles. If we recall the story of the Samaritan woman by the well of Jacob, we are reminded that Christ himself went out, though initially to preach to the Jews. He did go out and preach to also the Gentiles, those whom specifically the Jews had rejected. And if we read the two genealogies of Christ, the one taken from the Gospel of Matthew and the one taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, we see a difference in the way the genealogies are written. The St. Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. And from Adam, we can infer, as the Church Fathers do, that this genealogy is meant to show Christ universal as the universal Savior, the universal Messiah, not just the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of all creation. So thus, we who are Gentiles have been grafted in. We are a branch that was cut from wild trees, and we are allowed, by the grace of God, to be grafted in to the natural branch, to the original tree. We get to share what the other branches naturally get. We share in the same tree, and we get nourished from the same root. We, as adopted children, gain entry into the household of God because he has shown great mercy and grace towards us. And this is such a message of hope, that though the promise was initially given to one specific group of people, it is now given to all of us. Then Paul changes his tone and warns us about becoming too haughty. And sometimes we who are grafted in forget that we were grafted in. We forget that we were not the ones to whom the original promise was made. And we can become proud and boastful in our stance now as part of this new tree. I'm reminded of a story that was told to me by one of my seminary professors at St. Vladimir's. And he tells of this Hispanic family that is visiting an OCA parish. They left their former parish and they were seeking orthodoxy, actively seeking orthodoxy. And when they entered this OCA parish, they were not met with kindness. Rather, they were met with stares, and people were wondering, what was this Hispanic family doing in an OCA parish, an Orthodox Church of America parish? They did not feel the warm welcome of Christ. They did not feel the warm welcome of orthodoxy that they had heard so much about. They turned away from this church and went seeking another church. How sad, my professor would say, how sad is it going to be on the day of judgment for this church because they rejected someone who truly came seeking Christ. When people come to us seeking Christ, we must not turn them away. Rather, we must show them the love that Christ has shown us because he welcomed us into his fold. He welcomed us into his household. For us, we should also welcome others who actively come seeking Christ into our household as well. The promise is extended to them. But just like other branches were cut off to allow the new branches in, so too can we be cut off to let other branches in. And it is a dangerous thing that if someone comes seeking Christ and we show them an image that makes them reject Christ. We see this now in the world today, that one of the leading reasons why people no longer want to follow Christ is the example of Christians. How sad. Rather, Christ showed us an example of transformation. During the Feast of the Transfiguration, his apostles witnessed he shone literally white. Our lives need to go through a similar transformation. We need to become the beacon of Christ's light to those around us. Christ says in the gospel that we are the light of the world, and it is quite a large responsibility and sometimes overwhelming to think that we must light the world. What I ask each and every single one of you is don't worry about the whole world. Just worry about your world. The people around you, the people that you see in your day-to-day lives, all those who you have interaction with, allow them to see the light of Christ shining from you, that you are a beacon, a lighthouse. And as lighthouses guide ships throughout the foggy night, we too are called to be beacons of light that give hope to those around us. In a world that rejects faith and in a world that rejects Christ, we are now called to be the same beacons that attract them, that show them that the world, the life of a Christian is one of compassion, is one of welcoming, it is one of community, and it is one that does not welcome dismiss the outsider. Rather, it welcomes the outsider, especially the one who seeks Christ. We will never know the forms of all those who come forward, who come seeking Christ. And the point is that we don't need to. The Jews did not expect the Gentiles to be saved, and yet Christ extended the blessing to them. We are now grafted into the new tree, and we are no longer part of the old tree. We are no longer part of the branches of this world, because the branches of this world are the ones that are going to get cut down and they're going to be thrown into the fire. Rather, we are part of the new tree that bears new fruit, a new tree that is going to be growing in the garden of God in his holy household. And our job is not to stop other branches from joining. Rather, it is to be welcoming enough so that we too can add to this magnificent tree. Beginning immediately, we pray that Christ gives us the strength and the wisdom to see when people are coming towards us seeking Christ. And that when those people come to us seeking him, that we be the beacon that allows them to come in, that welcomes them with open arms into this new household, into this new tree. We give praise and thanksgiving to the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.